Going back to the text that was read to us in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14b, which is the second sentence in verse 14, reads to us, "Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." The last couple of weeks, many of you know, I've been preaching a sermon series on answering God's call, and we have seen how God has called various people to respond to God's call within the world. But let me ask you a question this morning. What will make you get up and answer God's call? What will make you get up and answer God's call? Is it because you have been in church all your life and that is the right thing to do? Will you answer God's call because you remember what God has done for you and you respond to what it is? Do you or will you answer God's call because there's a certain need and maybe you feel that you have a certain gift to fulfill that need? Is it that many of us are hearing God's call, but we are rejecting, saying God is somebody else? What will it call for us to understand that all throughout our lives, as God has walked with us, we are here for such a time as this? We find out here that Esther, whose Hebrew name was Hadassah, is a queen. Now keep in mind, she was also of the Jewish faith, and King Ahasuerus had given a banquet in the first chapter of Esther. Had given a banquet not only for all of his royal people, but he gave a whole banquet for the city of Susa where he was. And we find out here, as he had this lavish banquet with goblets and different types of accoutrements, he was one who was not shy about what he had. And he wanted to make sure that everything that was nice, he was going to be displayed to not only that quiet circle of his, but also to everybody in that city, let him know what he's working with. And we find out here that he had, at one point, after he had drunk a whole lot of wine, sitting there with his compatriots, he had called Queen Vashti to come out. But the queen said no. And if you read the story, we understand that he got upset that the queen did not come out. And he had asked all of his sages and all those who made the rules and laws who knew about this, what shall I do? And he got together with all of them and they told him, you need to get rid of her and find a new wife for yourself. He was going to replace the queen for somebody else, just because the queen did not come out when he said or when he asked. So we find out here that Mordecai, who really had adopted Hadassah, whose name is Esther, because her parents had died, we find out that he was going to get her in line, because part of the instructions that the men had told the king was that you need to go and find somebody else. And so he had gotten all these women who were virgins, by the way, into a certain concubine and gave them treatments, the royal treatments, cosmetics, oil and myrrh and everything, and prepared them. And when they appeared in front of the king was going to make the choice as to whether he was going to pick a new queen or not. And we find out that the Bible tells us here that Esther was beautiful and she paid attention to everything that Hagar, who was a eunuch in charge of all of the concubines, had said. And so at the appropriate time, Esther had appeared in front of the king and had pleased the king so much that she was now the queen. See, she was enjoying the good life. Could you imagine what it was like knowing a king that was very opulent and was very proud of everything that he had? She was sharing in that. She could imagine that she was wearing clothes of purple and gold with tiaras on her hair, had the best of servants, had the best of food, had the best of everything. So why is it Or why would it be that when trouble came, she would even respond? You see, it's hard to criticize the king. We're in the king's house. We find out here that she was having a good life. And even Mordecai, her caretaker, her guardian at this time, although he was not as high up as her, he was in the court. So he was doing well as well. And he would check on her every day at the king's gate, although he was not able to go that much further. So we find out that everything was going okay. Imagine a girl who comes from a people who are oppressed and depressed and oppressed is now on the same level almost as the king in the king's house, sharing everything, getting all of her needs, getting her feet done, her nails done, her hair done, ordering people to get the best of everything. But you know, we never live the same way all the time. Because at the same time that Esther was having a good time here within the confines of the king's place, somebody was coming against her. And we found out that Haman, who had been appointed by the king, second in charge behind the king, he was also a man who had an attitude. He was also a man who wanted to be looked at as important. For yet, we find out that the king had given a royal decree that everybody, when you come by the king's gate and you see Haman, you need to bow to him. But see, Mordecai did not bow to him. And every time Mordecai went by the gate and saw that he did not bow to Haman, even the servants of the king had went out to him and said, "Look here, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to know who you're messing with. Haman is not a good man. Now, the king has told you, you need to bow every time you go by the king's gate and see him, so what you need to stop." But Mordecai steadfastly refused to bow to Haman. And you could imagine, as the servants of Haman went back and had told him what was going on, that he just got upset. He got mad every day. Everybody else paying him honor and homage, but yet Mordecai was not. And he could look at Mordecai's face, and Mordecai just looked at him like, I am not bowing to you. I don't care who you are. And you can imagine that made Haman angrier and angrier and angrier. And said, "You know what? I'm going to find out who he is, and I'm going to punish him." And he had found out Mordecai had slipped up because he had told the guards who told Haman that he is a Jew. And then on top of that, we find out Haman embellished the story to the king because he had an appointment with the king and had told the king, "There is a whole group of people who do not follow your laws, who do their own thing. And he is of those people. And let me tell you something, king. What if these people rebel against you because they are not following you?" And I remember King Ahasuerus had a kingdom all the way from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces. It was a large land. The king was in charge of a lot of stuff. And could you imagine that somebody was rebelling against him in his own kingdom? You know, a king cannot stand for that. So Haman says, "Look here, king, I'll give you some of my money if you just make this deal. That on this day that I have gotten a lot of Pur, which is called Purim, which is one of the Jewish holidays, on the 13th day in the 12th month of Adar, that on this day, everybody who was an enemy of the Jews go out and kill the men, women, and children. And no longer will these people who disobey you be in charge, or at least try to take charge." And the king said, "Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and do it." And so he had sent everybody out, all of the couriers and everything, all over the whole province, told them, "On this day, in this particular month, you are to kill all of the Jews." Evil, is it not? Yes. Evil. But yet we find out that as he was doing this and everybody was shook up, those who were Jews didn't understand exactly what was going on. And in 12 months, we're going to be killed here in this particular place. And we don't know, all over the kingdom, no matter where they were. They were like, oh my God, the king has done this. And once the king had put his signet ring on it, that means there was no going back. There was no change in the king's mind. But even at that, Esther was in the king's palace. And Esther had to send people to find out what was happening. What is all this commotion? And it had been told to her by Mordecai, look here, your people. And also keep in mind, it was not told to the king who Esther was. So Esther was a Jew undercover, okay? Because if she was told, I mean, it was found out that she was a Jewish person, then there might be a little bit of trouble in the camp. So we find out here that she claims that she couldn't do anything. She says, I can't go in front of the king because I have another 30 days left where I see him. And if he sees me without my permission, he will kill me. How many people do we have in the world, in spite of all the things that are happening, knowing they have the power, knowing they have the opportunity to change the situation, but they don't because they're okay where they are? How many people do we know that yet we see everything that's falling down around us, the racism and sexism, and even as we find out even today how families are being separated at the border, how many people are taking their power and their privilege and letting it just sit back? How many people are relying on somebody else to take the responsibility? How many people have God called, but yet we say we turn a blind eye to what God has for us within our lives? How many times have we seen what's going on within our neighborhoods and even in our schools, but yet we have the power and privilege and education to do so, but we stay up in the royal room without coming down because we don't want to be just like them? And remember, once a time we were just like them. Came from the same street, came from the same neighborhood, but yet we want to go back to the same people who were just like us, and we were just like them. We find out, brothers and sisters, there's a problem, and even for us as African Americans, let's face it, we have the same problem too. How many of us have been like Esther? We just gonna chill or give excuses because we can't do nothing about it, knowing that we have the power to do so. But Mordecai had to remind her who she was. Because Mordecai said, now, look here. Number one, you better recognize, because the king does not know who you are. And when he finds out, you may be just like your father's family. Everybody's going to be destroyed in this place. So you need to get with the program. But then, as Mordecai talks to her and lets her know what's going on, he said, well, perhaps you are royal dignity for just such a time as this. Maybe because you're inside the house, maybe because you're in the inside room, the upper room, it is your responsibility to reach the king. Maybe God is empowering you to do something. And Mordecai tells her, now, if you don't do something, now somebody else of the Jewish faith is going to do something. But maybe it's not relying on somebody else. Maybe it needs to be you. See, she claims she's powerless, but yet she is powerful. She claims she can't do anything, but yet, once she found out what was happening, it just seems like that Esther awoke. And Esther said, well, look here. Me and my people and my servants, we're going to fast, and you tell all the other Jews to fast, and I'm going to make my way in front of the king. She decided at that time, and it's always funny that most of the time we don't do anything until our own is threatened. But yet God still moved within this whole situation. And God went to work in her. She set up Haman, who tried to set up Mordecai. And then we found out that Mordecai was even lifted to Haman's place. The people were saved. And as a matter of fact, which is the gruesome part of this, on that day of Purim, in which all the enemies of the Jewish people were supposed to kill the Jews, it also turned up being the other way around. had God had used them to get rid of the enemy. You see, brothers and sisters, the Jews were saved. And God keeps calling on people. God never stops calling on us. Even in the most dire and difficult situations in life, God is still calling people today. And God is calling not only Martin Luther King's and Mother Teresa's, God is calling you. God called Dr. Everett Ward to save this school of what's going on. God calls all of us to do something in this day and in this time. But we have to understand, are we ready to answer the call? Are we ready to leave our bank accounts? Are you ready to leave your homes? Are you ready to leave your degrees? Are you ready to leave your jobs? Are you ready to leave your perceived privileges behind to help somebody else? You see, it is my contention that it is not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. You see, brothers and sisters, if we're talking about trying to go forth here today, it's not going to take one or two of us. It's going to take a collection of us. It's going to take a whole lot of praying. It's going to take a whole lot of listening. And most of all, it's going to take a whole lot of acting on what God has called us to do. Because as we look at our world and so many things are going down to waste, God is calling somebody out of their situation that feels comfortable to do something. God comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Understand today, brothers and sisters, God is calling us to do something. God, as God has called the others that I've preached about, and as God has called the whole spectrum of all the people from Genesis all the Revelation, God has called prophets and prophetesses, and God has called men and women, and God has called even a child like Jeremiah. God has called all of us that we may go forth into this world and see the injustices and everything that is happening, that we may be a part of bringing in God's kingdom. God is ready for us today. God is calling us to work and to be a blessing to somebody else, both here and now and hereafter. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be ready today if we're going to do the work. We've got to be ready to know that God is calling us. We've got to be ready to know that when God calls, we've got to act. And we've got to be the ones like Esther, to be courageous. We've got to be the ones to know that when everybody else has been called upon, maybe it's you. And maybe you are called for such a time as this. Amen.
Amen.
Now, our invitational hymn is number 370, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Maybe there are some of you today